Okay, so first of all, I just want to give a trigger warning to anyone. Today, Pink Matter discusses sexual assault.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pink Matter, a podcast that discusses the modern woman. I'm Sam Ray.
And I'm Jamila Jarre. Follow us on SoundCloud and Twitter at The Pink Matter, and we are also available on iTunes and Audioboom.
Also, follow us on our personal Twitters at Love Saray
and at Jamila Jarre. And don't forget,
on Wednesdays, we listen to Pink Matter.
That was good. That was good, guys. That was good, man. I was impressed, man. That was good.
Would you ever date a guy? Okay, not would you ever date. Would you ever get into a relationship with a guy that used to be a sex addict? Like a genuine sex addict.
What, like, as in seek help?
Yeah, like.
No.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
No.
Why?
Because ain't nobody got time for that. Like, what do you mean? Do you know what sex addiction is? That's like every spare minute of your time you're having sex.
I wouldn't
ever get into a relationship with an addict of any sort. You can be addicted to cleaning and I wouldn't get in a relationship with you. Like, you can have the maddest OCD, I wouldn't get into a relationship with you. I'm sorry. That's so any type of addict I wouldn't get in a relationship with. It's not just limited to sex.
That's understandable.
What about you?
No, out of your mind. I don't have the stamina.
He probably want you to eat his ass as well.
Hell to the no. Can you imagine? Like, I was watching a show and the main character's going to relationship with a sex addict, and she went to one of his I guess meetings, and they he was like, oh hi, my name's Sean, I'm a sex addict and I've had sex with over 300 women, and she just stood up like, bitch, I ain't got the time, and she walked out. But can you
as
imagine,
she should have
300 women, like, that actual, like, he said he lost his wife, his job,
yeah,
everything
good
because of sex. Like, it's never
it's never that deep. No, it can never be that deep. They are losing your family over it. I mean, whatever. But yeah,
that's
no.
Interesting. Huh. What about if they were addicted to loving you?
Okay, that doesn't make any sense to me now. Like,
it
what
does.
Are you talking about?
No, okay. Like, okay, what if they were just addicted to buying you gifts?
That's different. That's not an addiction, though. That could never be an addiction.
Okay,
if there is someone out there that is listening that is addicted to buying someone gifts, holler at your girl, okay? No, seriously though, like, there is nobody out there that's addicted to buying gifts.
No, but there's
you
everything
flipping loser.
Don't call them losers.
They are a loser.
No, you're not a loser, babe. Listen at me, Jamila Jarre. Don't worry.
No, that was Jamila that said that. I'm the one that's saying you're not a loser. Okay, love Saray. It's LoveSarae. Okay,
shut the fuck up. You know they won't be able to tell as well. Anyway, hi guys, I'm Jamila Jarre.
And I'm Sam Ray.
And we are back. Yes, Sam is finally back.
Yeah, I'm back for good now, guys.
Thank you so much to our guest co-host. I had so much fun. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, really enlightening. Like, I loved the past few episodes.
Yeah, like, thank you so much, guys, for filling in. Obviously, we will always still have, you know, guests on our show. So if anyone is still interested, don't forget to contact us, and don't feel like, you know, we didn't see any applicants.
We saw them all, trust me, we saw them
all.
It was really hard to pick.
Yeah, we've kept you in mind for future episodes, don't worry. But if you do feel like you want to kind of make yourselves known again, contact us again. And yeah, we will try and get back to you, because let me be honest, we weren't that great in terms of responding, but that's because there were so many people.
I had people DM me individually as well, so
yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I was like, listen,
same here,
I'll
exactly
reach out to you. And even there were some for I think two episodes where I was like, oh, I want to get this person, I want to get that person, but some people just were not available.
Yeah, exactly, so exactly, exactly.
It was very difficult picking, but
so hopefully in the future, obviously, yeah, we're gonna try and, you know, bring it back to the beginning where it was just Jamila and I for
a
little
while.
We've had so many guests. This is like no longer the Jamila Jarre and Sam Ray show. This is like the friends plus friends. But yeah, we'll have you on soon, guys. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, I wanted to tell you guys, we will be at the So Live Festival in
August. Oh, yeah.
We are going to be answering dilemmas live, like right then and there, no preparation. So mm-hmm. we can't even hide our shocked faces. We can't even hide
our disgust.
We can't hide anything. So get your tickets. We will put the link out and you can get your tickets from there.
There are a few other things that we could possibly be involved with, involved in this year, but we haven't really made final decisions on those yet.
Just know we're up to something.
Yeah,
we're always up
that's
to something.
The final. That is set in stone. We will definitely be at the Solar Festival. So yeah,
we'll see you
buy
there.
Tickets, please.
We have set, and there's so many other podcasts that are going to be there as well.
Yeah, exactly. Even from America as well.
Another round.
Mostly lit.
Mostly lit. Sorry, the friend zone.
Yeah.
There was two they were hinting at, which I think might be Brilliant
the
Idiots
read.
Or The Read.
Yeah, I saw that.
So,
as well.
You know, I'm looking forward to that myself. So
yeah, I'm here for that.
I can't
I'm here
wait.
For that.
So, yeah, don't forget, guys, to send your dilemmas to curiouscat.me/thepinkmatter or pinkmattercontacts@gmail.com and we will try to answer them on the show.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, quickly, for anyone that is wondering, we promise you these dilemmas are 100% genuine.
Like
I said,
real.
Maybe the person that's sending them is lying or is making up their dilemma, but we are really receiving.
Sorry, guys. Something just happened, but yeah
we are genuinely receiving these dilemmas,
like these are 100% like
please,
real from real people.
Don't think this is fraudulent, like
I have no reason
people
to
are as crazy as they look. Okay, that's that. So
anything else you want to announce?
Oh, okay, yeah, do you want to know something else? Okay, so as you guys know, I've had the baby. We just completely forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
I've had Micah.
Like a week and a half now.
Two weeks.
Yeah,
now. He's 2 weeks old now. So he's 2 weeks old. Like I said, I'm trying to avoid talking about him on here only because this is a joint podcast and I don't want to kind of just spend 30
minutes.
Well, I
mean, Micah's my son as well. So,
yeah, okay.
You know.
So I don't want to spend... I'm joking. I don't want to spend like 30, 40 minutes talking about him when there's another person that's involved in this podcast. So as I've said before, I am going to try and release a video. Like, I'm not really a video person, like, but I'm going to try because I am really like eager to tell you guys how it went. It was not easy at all. And I want to kind of share it with anyone that's going through it right now, or anyone that will be going through pregnancy. It's not all roses. Just want to let you know that. So look out for the video. Don't know when it's going to come out. So I'm not making any promises right now, but it's something that I definitely look forward to doing in the next month or in the next month.
You can say also, like, people are going to forget you were ever pregnant.
Exactly. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's what I've got. So you got anything, Jamila?
Any announcements? Do I have any announcements? No.
Any announcement except that her pussy's getting fatter.
Yeah.
Her ass is getting fatter. Her thighs are getting thicker. That's what
it's
I can
true,
say.
Guys. I've gained so much weight. Like, I'm almost 12 stone, so you know I'm out here.
You're such a liar. You can't be... Oh,
honest
okay,
to God.
I just tried to say, oh, but I said, oh. I didn't even say it. I was like, why am I tripping over this word? Yeah. You're not nearly.
Yes, I am.
10, 12,
I weighed myself upstairs.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm nearly 12 stone. So you know, like I'm actually like a thick bitch. Like I'm out here. Like I'm that bitch. But you guys already knew that. So yeah, let's get started with the show.
Yep.
Want to achieve that celebrity look you've been eyeing on Instagram? Look no further. Hairs provides quality luxury virgin hair extensions and is one of the biggest luxury hair companies in the UK that ships internationally. Donned by the likes of Lyra Galore, Letitia Grace and other beauties, you too can achieve that goddess-like look. Luckily for you, we have a discount code for our listeners. So head over to hairrest.co and use the discount code PINKMATTER to get coins off your purchases.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to give a trigger warning to anyone. Today, Pink Matter discusses sexual assault. We'll be discussing, well, telling a few stories close to us, so, you know.
This is really inappropriate, but the way Jamila's voice is shaking already...
Sorry, guys. Like, she's got me
shaking.
Fucked up. Like, I might actually cry on this episode. So, you know, but yeah. Do you
want to
go first?
Yeah. I think I've got stories to tell. The thing is, though, guys. If you guys ever paid attention or read Jamila's old website, Snatched XO, that she
launched.
Was involved with. Yeah, this is when I first told this story, and it was the first time I'd ever told the story publicly. Or I don't think I'd really told people in general. Like, I did a few people.
I only knew like a week before that.
Yeah, I hadn't really told people. I think I kept it for, what was that, 7 years, did I say, at the time? Do you know what? It wasn't really much of me being like ashamed, if I'm honest. It was more to do with, I felt like I'd be blamed. Like, because of the way that people are, I felt like people would blame me for putting myself in situations that I didn't even put myself in these situations. These situations came to me. They found me. So, So I'll tell one story. I'll let Jamila go, then I'll go after. So one of them, let me wheel it. Anyone that did read will already know the story, but obviously it's different now coming out of my mouth than being read. So yeah. When I was about 17, I think I was 17.
That was actually 9 years ago.
All right, bitch. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
Because we all didn't know how old I am already.
Thank you for the information that we already ease you into it.
So, yeah. I was about 17. I can't believe you did that. You're an idiot. So I was about 17 and my mum was in Nigeria. And at this time, I think her and my dad had split up. So it was literally just me at home. My older brother was at uni and my younger brother, I think he was like staying with my cousin or something at the time. So I had just ordered Tesco delivery on like online shopping, because obviously I didn't have a car at the time, couldn't go and get all the food shopping, whatever. So this guy, black guy wearing a gold chain and Air Maxes, black Air Maxes, kind of short, like, you know, they're short niggas, he came to the door and like from the get-go I kind of noticed his body language was off. So he was trying to kind of come inside my house and I was like, excuse, like, why are you trying to come inside my house? I don't need your help. I'm okay. And he was just like, no, let me help you inside. And I said, I'm okay. I can take things in. Like, it's not the first time I had done Tesco delivery shopping or Tesco online shopping. So I said, it's fine. Just leave the things and I'll take everything. This guy just walked into my house carrying my shopping. I was like, I am good. You don't need to come into my house. So at this point, I just said, is there something I need to sign or something? Is that why you're still here? And he was like, no. And then he said something like, oh, rah, your front room is massive. I can doggy you from the front door to the back door. Or something like that. And I was like, wait, hold on a minute. Obviously, at that point, now I'm on guard because I'm like, this guy has just entered my house without my permission and now he's talking about sexual activity with me. And at the time, like I said, I was only 17. So he goes into my front room with his dirty, dirty Air Maxes, which we did not wear shoes in my house, okay? So the fact that he even walked into my front room with his dirty Air Maxes already just irritated me. That was one thing. So, then he sees my brother's PS3, or what was it at the time? Maybe PS2, I don't know what it was. It was PS something, PlayStation, yeah. And he was just like, yeah, after my shift, I'm coming back to play this PS, let's say PlayStation. I'm coming back to play this PlayStation. I finish at 4:30. When I'm done, I'm coming back, this, that, and the other. I said, no, you're not coming back. And he was like, yes, I am. And I was like, okay. So he comes back to the kitchen and at this point now he's telling me to give me his number and I'm like, no, I'm not giving you my number, whatever. And he's now getting really like aggressive and he was saying to me, in fact, I'm even fast forwarded. Let me reel it back. I was kind of getting the order wrong. I was in my pajamas, okay? So for anyone that's saying to me, oh, you know, you might have been dressed in a certain way, whatever, I wasn't. I was wearing pajamas. I had sleep in my eyes. I'm pretty sure I had drool hanging off the side of my mouth or the corner of my mouth. My lips were dry. I probably smelled, okay? I think I was wearing a headscarf or a hat. I was wearing a headscarf or a hat. One of the two. Anyway, I can't remember anymore. It's funny because when I wrote this on Snatched, I had already written it, I think, 5 years previously to release as a blog, and I never did. So everything that I'd... So, basically, I knew from the time, but now, speaking, 9 years later, my memories are a bit foggy. You know, it's crazy. Do you know what I'm saying? So my blog post is more accurate than what I'm saying right now. I remember the second story better than this one. But anyway, so he pushes me up against the wall and he's like grabbing my bum and stroking my thighs and all sorts and saying, yeah, basically saying, oh yeah, you're sexy, you're this, you're that, I'm coming back, blah blah blah, whatever whatever whatever. And he's rubbing my boobs, all sorts. And keep in mind, this is in my house, guys, this is in my house, and I had nobody to protect me. There was nobody. I even tried to lie and say to him that my dad was coming back. He didn't believe that. At one point he took off my hat or my scarf, whatever I was wearing on my head, as like hitting me with it and all sorts, like trying to basically like regulate me, because I was obviously trying to kind of like push him off or fight back. So anyway, at one point he is trying to get my number. And he's telling me put my number in his phone. And I'm like, no, whatever. And in this space of time, he's like fiddling around with his phone. So I went to the kitchen. I tried to pick up a knife. And he had asked me earlier who this person in the picture was. And it was my mum. And I said it was my mum. And stupidly, I said that she wasn't in the country. This was before he kind of became like kind of sexually abusive. So anyway, I went and tried to grab a knife. And he caught his eye. I didn't know he was looking, but maybe he caught in his peripheral view or whatever. But he was like, you better put down that knife, your mum won't be coming home to her daughter. I was like, okay. I'm not gonna lie, I am a bad girl in it. Like, I'm not a pussy, but I was scared. That, like, in life, nobody's ever scared me. Like, nobody's ever really scared me. I'm not intimidated by anybody, but at that moment I was just like, this could get a bit long, because I don't know this guy, I don't know where he's from, I don't know anything, and he's in my house. And it's to the point where if I was screaming, I didn't have neighbors. Like, my neighbor, I wasn't in a terraced house, I was in a semi-detached house. So it's a thing where if I screamed, I guarantee the way that my house was set up, nobody would have heard me. So anyway, what happened? So yeah, I put that down, and then I refused to give him my number, and he said to me, call my phone, or something along those lines. He was like, call my phone. And so basically I was forced to call his phone. So he had my number and he's like, okay, yeah, I'm coming back. Now the problem is, the reason why I ever felt any kind of, not fear, but you know, the reason why I was cautious when he said the whole thing about my mum won't be coming home to her daughter is because he knows where I live. At this point, you know my house. This is where my sibling lives, this is where my mum lives. Like, you can come back at any time and do anything. So I was just like, I need to kind of behave and be careful with what I do. Because if I had picked up that knife and maybe slashed him, that's me. I promise you, he'd be back with whoever to do whatever. So I had to be careful. So anyway, he went and I literally just like sat on the floor and I burst into tears after he came, because I've said this kind of in the wrong order, but this was the second time this had happened to me in 1 week. So the other story that I'm going to tell you after Jamila, that happened earlier in the week. And then this happened again. So I was basically, the first story that I was supposed to tell you was attempted rape. Like, someone actually tried to rape me. In this one, this was more sexual assault. So I literally was just fed up at that point. I sat down and I was just like, why me? Like, why is this happening? I felt like at that point, this is because my dad and all the ain't shit bullshit that he's done. And if he was here, this wouldn't have been happening, because a man would have been in the house, or my mum wouldn't have even gone to Nigeria in the first place, because she wouldn't have been, you know, upset from her breakup that she'd had to go to Nigeria. There were all sorts of emotions that were running through me. And I was just fed up because I couldn't tell anyone, like, as in anyone that was close enough to me. So I told, like, close male friends, and they were all just, you know, talking the usual, oh, you know, I'm going to spray him up. Like, who is it? Just give me the number. Give me the number that you called. Let me set him up. Just tell him that you're going to come link him, and then we'll be waiting at the bus stop. And I'm like, yeah, you all dickheads. Just shut up. Because at the end of the day, he knows where I live. Like, let's not forget, he knows where I live. So if anything happens, and he even just has an inkling that I was involved, anything can happen, okay? I do not bring beef to my house. Beef cannot come to my house. It's really that simple. So I just kind of dealt with it myself. And yeah, like, that to me, like, I understand that, you know, people, you know, get sexually assaulted by people in their family, like within their family, maybe like an uncle
it's not even like, you know, when they say you're most likely to be like sexually assaulted by someone
that's close to you,
I don't even think it's someone that's close to you. I think it's someone that you may trust. The people that we automatically trust are like, you know, cab drivers or delivery guys. Like,
trust them. Like, no matter what, And then for anyone that was saying to me, you know, why didn't I report him or whatever, whatever. Again, he knows where I live. If this guy had lost his job or anything had happened, like he'd had to go to court or whatever, I don't know who he could have called to come to my family home. Do you know what I'm saying? And obviously, I was young, so I was not well informed of, you know, my rights or what I could do or any or consequences for people's actions. So it was only later down the line that I figured, okay, maybe I should report it. But by then, I think the statute of limitations was over or something. I can't even remember, guys. I don't know what I'm talking about right now. But there was a reason why I could not report it. And I'm not gonna lie, a few times I've thought to myself, "Wow, I could have had free Tesco for life." Like if I had reported him, yeah, they would have niced me. But it's not about the money. It's not about, you know, the.
It's about your welfare.
It literally was exactly. It literally was about, yeah, as Jimmy just said, my welfare, my safety. Like I was the only thing. I promise you, the only thing I thought of was my family. I literally put the thought of my family before myself, and that's why I never reported it. So. Yeah, Jamila has just taken off her wig, by the way. She's taken off her wig to tell this next story.
It's just
so, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, guys, I've spoken about, you know, I'm just going to give you guys a bit of a background so you understand what I was going through at the time. So, obviously, as a child, I wasn't really close to my father. Like, he wasn't in my life for majority of my childhood. Well, technically, I chose for him not to be in my life for majority of my childhood. So, I stopped talking to him when I was 6. I didn't start talking to him again when I was 16. Again, all of that was my choice. Nobody forced that upon me. So I didn't really live with my mom either. We had a lot of, because of my father, we had a lot of issues, you know, in our family. And my mom, I've changed my name. I don't know if I've said this before on here, but I've changed my name either twice or three times in my life because of him, because of my safety. So, you know, that's part of it. So I lived in America for 2 years and then about 2 years, and my mum was staying here in London. So this was between the ages of 8 and 10, and me and my mum weren't very close. So at this time I was going through a lot of emotions as a child. It's for me it was a lot like, I don't know, I've spoken about this with my mom and I sort of got her permission for me to speak about this on the podcast, because for me I just wasn't, I'm private, but I just don't like talking about my childhood. Like the most people hear about is that, oh, I lived in America and I went to loads of schools and all of that, but I don't really talk about what happened in my childhood. So when I came back from America now, I still wasn't really living with my mom. I was living at cousins' houses and stuff like that, just to keep myself safe. Like that was my mom's prerogative. Like she wanted to keep me safe away from my father and everything. Not that my father was abusive towards me, well, not physically abusive, but he was definitely mentally and emotionally abusive. So because of all of that, my mom wanted to keep me safe, and in order to keep me safe, she had to keep me away from her, so we weren't very close. So I was staying at a lot of different cousins' houses, and in these times I was getting molested by one of my cousins, and I'm very hesitating here because I'm very shook. So I was being molested for a few months. It wasn't don't get me wrong here, like as a child, yeah, I always knew right from wrong. I knew obviously it wasn't supposed to be happening, but it was like I had no one to turn to because me and my mom weren't very close, and me and my brother weren't very close. Like, I wasn't close to anybody. Like there were times, I think, I can't lie, looking back at it now, I was probably depressed as a child because I just felt like I had no one in my life to talk to. And like, I used to wish sometimes that I'd wake up and have no family, and like, or I'd find out I was adopted or something like that.
Do you know what? I used to think that as well. Like, I wish
because of the drama in it. You just wish, oh no, maybe I told my mom this recently and I was just bare crying.
That you wish you could do anything that you wanted. Like, nobody is telling you, like, you don't have a family to kind of have any influence on your life. You just do whatever you want.
Yeah. And,
that's what it was.
I told my mom recently, I was like, you know what, yeah, like I swear I used to hate you guys, like I hate all of you guys. I just I wished I was just by myself, like, because to me they'd well I can't lie, they did ruin my life, but they pretty much ruined my innocence and everything to do with that. So, so anyway, I was being molested for a few months and all of that. And I always knew, obviously, you know, you're not supposed to let people touch you. You're not supposed to let people do this. You're not supposed to let people do that. But for me, it was like, I had no one to turn to. And it just seemed perfectly normal. Like, it felt like... it just felt like normal. Like, it just felt as if, oh, I'm playing with my cousin. Do you get what I mean?
Do you mind me asking what, obviously, like, I know, but just for the listeners, like, what was actually happening? Like, what was your cousin doing to you? Just in case anybody else can, like, relate
vaginal
to this.
Play, stuff like that, if that makes sense. So it was a lot of intrusive stuff anyway. So I just never told anybody. And for years, I just pushed it to the back of my head. Like, I was just like, oh, I don't remember. It's not like I don't remember. I knew it happened. I just chose not to remember. So it wasn't until, I think, 2015, summer. Do you remember when we were going to do that Big Sister program?
Oh, yeah.
And then we had all, we were going to confide. Like, we wanted to do something for other girls.
Yeah, we all spoke about.
And, so we all spoke about what we'd been through and stuff like that.
Oh, I remember that.
I don't know, there was this one time I was just, bear in mind, by the way, my mum still didn't know about all of this. So this one time, me and my mum was just talking one day, and then I just burst into tears, and I was just crying and crying and crying. And then I was just like, I told her, and I was like, I was just, when I'm upset, I say a lot of things. I was like, why didn't you protect me? And this is that, like, I was like, I went through so much because I didn't have no one to turn to. Like, it's so hard to go through all of that as a child. Like, the most shit I went through as a child, bruv. It's only by God that I'm still alive, because every single time I think about it, I'm thinking, like, everybody else, they don't have two heads to have normal lives, you know? Like, they don't have two heads to have, like, a normal father or a normal parent, normal siblings, normal anything. Like, just a normal life.
A normal family. Let's just put it like that. A normal family.
Like, for me, it was just like, I felt like, for years, I used to, I went to boarding school from, like, age 13 till 16, and I used to write letters, and I just, like, I hate my family, like, I hate myself, like, I think I was very depressed as a child, after, like, maybe age 7, and I was just, like, I hate my life, like, I just want to die sometimes, because it was just so consuming, and I don't think parents understand what they've done to their children. Like, they don't understand that sometimes, you know, everything you're doing, even though you're trying to protect your child, you're not protecting them from anything. Like, you're really not protecting them from anything. And I spoke to her, what was it, last week or something, and I was just, like, telling her, because I was telling her about the podcast. She knows about the podcast. She just doesn't know what we talk about. So I was telling her about the podcast, and I was like, how we are going to talk about this and stuff like that. And she was just like, I think it'd be great for you to talk about it and stuff like that. And then I started confiding her even more. I swear, I can't lie, as time goes by, I'm closer to my mother now than I ever was. Like, I tell her so much. Like, I was like, to her, I hated you guys. Like, I hated you. Like, I actually hated you so much. I hated you. All of you guys, I used to feel like my brother was my mum's favourite, because all her focus was on him. And I was just there. Like, fair enough, I went to private school and I did all of that, but I still felt so alone in a place in where the adults were just doing everything. Like, they were just fucking up my life. Like, my innocence, by the time I was 7, I knew everything about my father that someone can possibly know about their father. Like, he was abusive financially, physically, like, mentally, emotionally. Like, he was everything. He was the worst father ever. And my memories of him as a child were not good. Like, for God's sakes, like, he used to take me to his mistress's house, and his mistress and their children would bully me. Like, what kind of fucking father allows that? Like, they cut off my hair, and I fully remember this. I cut off my hair, and I was wearing some pink outfit. Like, all of that, I was like, I just told her I blamed her for all of it. I was like, I just don't understand. Like, none of you guys seem to understand that you hurt me so much, like, by not being there. And by being there, all of it, your presence and your absence, it all affected me, because you guys just fucked up my life. I could have been so much better. I could have been out here, like, flourishing, like everybody else with their two heads. But no, you get this depressed child from fucking childhood, and all her problems, and you guys don't even care. You guys think, oh yeah, it's none of your business. Oh yeah, what happened to me or your mum, it's none of your business. Like, the one time I confronted my father about it, yeah, about him being a useless father. Not the one time, the first time anyway. So the first time I confronted him, he was like, it's between me and your mum. Like, are you a dickhead? You fucked up my life. You're talking about it's between me and your mum. Fuck what happened between you and mum. Like, you fucked up everything to do with me. Like, my head was fucked up. I did not like men. Like, you know, now, yeah, I know people think, like, I hate men. No, there was, like, you could not bring a man near me because I just did not like them. Like, I felt all of them were going to try hurt me or try bring abuse into my life. And it's like, I can't lie, this is going to be mad emotional when I'm going to have to edit it because, boy, this is putting my business out there. But I don't know, I just, being... You know what, yeah, people love to say, oh, why didn't you tell somebody? Like, why didn't you tell your brother? Or why didn't you tell this person? But all they're going to say is, oh, I'm going to fuck them up. I'm going to fuck... Like, who the fuck? No, listen, fucking people up does nothing for the victim. It doesn't do anything for them. Because as far as the person can die if they like, and that is still in their heart. Like, it still hurts. Like, all it still happened. It doesn't cancel out what happened. They could die. They could suffer. But it doesn't matter. Like, so me telling my brother can never be that, oh yeah, because even obviously my brother's not going to find out because he doesn't listen to this. So it's me telling my brother, oh yeah, my cousin was molesting me, he's going to go fuck him up. So it still happened. So what's going to happen from there? Are my memories going to go away? If my memories could go away, I swear to God, I will pay however much for my memories to go away, for me to remember my childhood as happiness. Because all that I went through with... Even the molesting thing, I don't know, man. Like, even now, I don't speak to their family no more. Like, I don't talk to them at all. And it's like, no one will understand why. Like, people don't understand why I'm so withdrawn from my family. Like, why I don't really talk to them. Why I don't feel like we mesh. Like, it wasn't until I started uni that me and my mum started talking more. And she understands me more. But even then, like, they don't get it. And I don't think anyone actually ever will get it.
Like, the thing that I would say in regards to what you're saying now is that despite you feeling like it was your parents' fault, it was at the end of the day, but adults make mistakes as much as we do. They just make mistakes in different ways. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like at this age, I could like, when I was younger, I would have said something like, oh, you know, my mum, she was in Nigeria while I was here by myself, etc., etc. But I can never say that now because I know why she went. She went because she had to get herself together after, you know, splitting with my dad, someone she'd been with for 26 years, 26 whole years. At that age, what do I know about being with someone for 26 years? What do I know about being with someone for 1 year? So I wasn't really empathetic towards her situation at the time, even though I was the one that said, yeah, go. I'm like, go to Nigeria. Then she goes and then I'm now going to turn around and complain. So it's so hard because... I don't want us to, like, put the blame on our parents, but maybe I'm wording it wrong, but you feel like there was a level of responsibility there, or you felt like she should have been...
Back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then okay, so now you don't feel... Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, that. Do you get what I'm saying? So you kind of grow out of that kind of thought process, but regardless... It's not something that you ever want to go through, because if you can't trust your family, who the fuck can you trust? Do you know what I mean?
It took a lot of self-therapy, I can't lie, for me to get to the place I am now. Like, back then, I was so full of hate. Like, I hated everybody. Like, I just couldn't be around everybody. I didn't like being around my mum. You know, like, when I tell you the hate for my family was real, yeah? When I went to America, I wasn't supposed to stay in America. It was just a holiday. And my mum was like, oh, do you want to stay? And I was like, yeah. She was like, without me? And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and I wanted to stay without her because I did not want to be around them. Mm-hmm. To me then, I was, what, eight then? To me then, all of them were just causing me unhappiness. Like, yeah. I wasn't happy being around any of them. So yeah. I was just like, deuces. And my mum said she cried all the way home. I was like, well, good for you, because I was so happy to be away from you guys. Like, I was so incredibly happy. And even, so I obviously, as a child, I saw my brother being very abusive. So when I came back from America, me and my brother were very close before I went to America. So when I came back from America, I was not the same person anymore. I was not tight with my mom. I wasn't tight with my brother. I wasn't tight with my, like, even my dad, like none of them. I did not like any of them. So my brother was trying to be my friend and everything. Yeah, I'm thinking, who the hell is this nigga? Like, why is he talking to me? Because to me, it was like, fuck you. Like, fuck all of you guys. I still don't rate any of you guys. And I would take every opportunity to be out of the house. Like, that's even why I said yes to boarding school, because I can't lie. I just want to be away from everybody. Like, it was, I can't lie. If I could go back and do my childhood again, 100% yes. Like, I know people say, oh, no, no, bitch. 100% yes. If I could do it again, I would do it again, because I need a do-over. But you know what? You can't look to the past. You can only look to the future. So,
yeah. And it's funny that you said the whole thing about, you know, you, which is what we wish that you had no family at times. I think it's so, like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's ludicrous that I ever used to think that I sometimes... Like, seriously, God forbid, but sometimes I'd wish that my parents would just die and I'd be an orphan. Like, so, as in, like,
I used to pray for the dumping ground.
Do you know what I'm saying? Exactly. I would pray that, you know, like, God would just... Like, why can't I be an orphan? I'd hear of people whose parents have died and, like, why couldn't that be me?
I'm like, oh, they're so lucky.
Exactly. Like, that's ridiculous. And, yeah, I went through times where I'd want to die. I'd call myself Samantha Blankson because I wanted no affiliation with my family. Like, I have a notebook of... I have this book and I still have it. That's the joke. I still have it. I wrote when I was like seven, between the ages of 17 to 19. And I just write like spoken word or poetry or just anything. Just write letters about how I just want my dad to die. And like just how just depressed I was and just things that I was going through. Like I was a really like angry child.
A lot of us, I think that's one of the reasons why we click so much.
Yeah, exactly, because we had like a similar childhood. Like we had a similar childhood. And yeah, it's crazy.
I had so much anger and resentment. I can't lie. It was filled, like, you could see it in me. Like, anybody would be like to me, oh my God, did I tell you about this one time? Yeah. So I don't know if you guys used to watch Ben TV, right? And then there was this show called the Bisi or Latilo show.
Yeah.
They used to have parties on there.
Yeah, my mum was 40 and was on there.
My dad, he was on there with his, I guess it was now his wife now, the mistress turned wife anyway. And he called himself Baba Beji. For you guys, I don't know what that means. That means dad of the twins, yeah? And I'm thinking, where the fuck did you get twin children from? Because I was thinking, are you sick? Where'd you get two children from? And that wasn't even what affected me. It was that I had an aunt who was like taunting me about, she's like, oh, look, it's your dad. He's saying that's their children. And those are the children that bullied me as well. So for me, I was like, raw. And I just started crying. Like, oh my God, I used to be a crybaby, son. Like, I just used to cry for no reason. Like, I cry over everything small. I said to my mum this, like, everything small, I used to cry over, because the big things I had no control over. So the small things were what I used to cry over. That's how I let out my pain. But... Yeah,
that's with me. I think it's very hard to get tears out of me, and that's why I'm speaking about these things so like I don't know how to describe it, like,
story
so
that
like
somebody else.
Exactly, and it doesn't mean that I didn't feel or I don't feel any emotion towards it, but it's just that I think that I have gone through so much in my life that I'm kind of like,
and you're not dead yet,
desensitized to a lot of things. I'm so desensitized, and I think that is another reason why I've been able to cope with so much, because I am so desensitized. When something bad happens, I'm just like, well, shit then, just another day in the life of Samantha. Like, what? Like, do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's normal. Like, it's like literally, why always me? That's how I feel. But it's funny because, you know, you were just talking about, okay, it's happened with your family. Like, this is a really small story, but this happened to me with a family friend, and it's weird because it was a female, and she tried to tell me, we were just chilling, and she was like to me, do you know how to kiss? And I was like, I know, like, I was young, I think I was like 10, do you know how to kiss? And she was older than me. And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And she was just like, oh, you can practice on a pillow. And I was like, okay. So I'm practicing on a pillow how to kiss.
How retarded that is.
I know, right? And then she was just like, okay, practice on your hand. And I was like, okay. So I'm practicing on the back of my hand. And she was like, okay, now you can practice on me. And I'm like, shit, bitch, what the fuck you think this is? Like, you know, I'm thinking in my head, this is not right. And she was literally trying to kiss me. And I was just like, oh, no. Like, I was like, ew, that's nasty, yuck, ew. If I had let her, she literally would have tried to, like, what would she have tried to do? Why is your voice getting so high pitched? Like, are you weird? Like, what's wrong with you?
It's your shock.
You fucking creep. Like, you creep.
You kiss a 10-year-old. Like, do you know what exactly?
Who thinks that? But anyway, unfortunately, I don't know the name of the guy, the Tesco delivery guy, but I'm sorry. Like I said, Pink Matter is unfiltered. I'm going to hot the people that I do know, okay?
Listen,
so
names and all.
I'm dropping names.
We don't pay that.
So we have Jerome Brown from Fulham.
Okay.
Next, yeah.
Jerome Brown from Fulham.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jerome Brown. He used to have long hair, 3/4 black, yeah? 1/4 white. He used to have long, 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 long ass hair from Fulham. Okay, I will even drop your school, but I'm not even gonna do that. Okay, I'm gonna leave that out because we don't need to get that deep. Anyone that knows Jerome Brown from Fulham, F U L H A M, J E R O M E B R O W N, yeah, this is about you,
right?
Because you ain't the only one. Don't worry, we're about to drop somebody else's name after this too. So yeah, Jerome Brown. So there was a time I was How old was I? I think I was just, 17. It was the same week that the whole Tesco thing happened, right? This happened first, though. So I was with my friend, and we were going to go and meet up with Jerome Brown and one other boy, Marcus, his friend Marcus. If you know Jerome and Marcus, you know exactly who I'm talking about. So we're going to meet up with some boy, Marcus, and Jerome. So my friend dropped out, and she was just like, I've got to look after my brother now. And I was just like, oh my God, I really want to go out. It was a hot summer day. Like, I was just wearing a t-shirt. I've got the picture. If anyone wants to see it, I think I'll tweet. No, I'm not going to tweet the picture. It's a bit clapped. It is so clapped. So last time, I think I tweeted it when I did Snatch. But I cut my head off. I cut my head off or something. Did I cut my head off? I don't remember. You did. Yeah. It was awful. And oh God. Anyway.
She looked like Tracy Beaker.
Shut up. No, I didn't. You
did. The pose was exactly Tracy Beaker.
So yeah. Literally I was wearing a bright red t-shirt with jeans. Okay. There was no like even if there were cleavage, there's no excuse for anything. Okay. So anyway, I said to my friend, I was like, well, I want to go out anyway. So let me just meet up with Jerome and Marcus. Okay. Jerome Brown and Marcus. So
she keeps saying it, guys. She's such an idiot.
No, because I don't care. Like, so anyways, I said I wanted to still meet up with them. And keep in mind now, Jerome Brown was friends with my cousin. He went to school with my cousin, and I had met him before, and Marcus as well. I had met him too. So, and I knew of Marcus. They were, you know, we were all kind of cool. So I thought, okay, there's nothing to this. Let me go and meet up with these people who I assumed were like my friends. If not friends, let's just at least say acquaintances. Let's just meet up. Now, I promise you, I had no feelings for Jerome. I did not fancy Jerome. Nothing like that. It wasn't like that at all. So I just said, okay, I'm going to go and chill. Because back then, like, for a big part of my life, I was basically, like, one of the mandem. Like, I, you know, was always with the boys and whatever.
But you all know what that means, guys.
Shut the fuck up. Come and bring some receipts if you want, okay? Like, come at me. Come at me if you really have any, okay? But anyways, yeah, so I was, like, one of those. So literally, like, tomboy, whatever. So I thought nothing of it. So anyway, I go to meet them. And they say meet in a park. Before you guys say anything, meet in a park with your friends. That means nothing, okay? Don't try and start saying, oh, Samantha, why were you going to a park anyway?
That's
with
only
men?
In South London.
This, then, yeah.
I'm joking. South London is getting onto me. Yeah.
So anyways, I went there and it was so strange. I got to the park and then Marcus was like, oh, go give me my boy Biscuit. I've got to give me my boy Biscuit. Okay, not Biscuit from Bad Chap. Biscuit,
how many guys have this nickname?
I swear, go get me biscuit. And he sprinted out of the park, like sprinted. He didn't just walk, he sprinted, did not say bye, nothing. So I was like, this is a setup. He has blatantly left me with Jerome Brown on purpose. So I'm like, okay. So I'm just chilling. I've got my earphones and whatever, like listening to music. I was just being a dumb girl, like listening to music and whatever. And he was like, oh, let me feel your boobs. Or he said something stupid like that. And I was like, yeah, no. And then he was like, oh, I bet I can tell your bra size by just looking at them. And then he was all guessing my bra size. And I'm not gonna lie, he got it right. I don't know how, but he did. And he was just like, oh, what did he say again? He just said some rubbish. He kept on telling me to come sit down next to him. And I was like, no, I'm good. I started standing up. That's it. And he's like, oh, come and sit down next to me. And he's got his legs spread out open saying, yeah, come and sit here in between my legs. And I'm thinking, you dickhead. Like, it's really not that kind of party. Whatever you think this is, it's not that. So anyway, I think he stood up and then I sat down or something like that. And then next thing, he just does one quick pinch and undoes my bra. He literally undid my bra. And I was like, are you a fucking psycho? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what is this? What are you doing? And I clipped it back. He did it again. He did it 3 times, guys, until I was just like, you know what? I'm going. And he was just like, no, don't go. Whatever. And I was just like, I'm actually going. Next thing you know, he literally dashes me to the floor. He jumps on top of me and he's trying to rape me. Guys, like, he was literally trying to rape me. Like, he then, like, undid my belt, I think. He undid my belt. I did my jeans. And we thank God I was wearing tights. Please don't ask me why I was wearing tights under jeans. And this is why you know it was only God. Because he wears tights under jeans. So he couldn't get into my knickers, but he was trying. Like, and he was trying to, like, literally rip my tights. He was doing the most. But that extra layer.
Were they those woolly tights?
No, they weren't. Who wears woolly tights?
I don't know.
No. So, like, literally, I promise you guys, it was that layer of tights that actually prevented him from probably being, like, being successful. And the thing is, like, I fought as much as I could. I was fighting. I'm punching him. I'm like, get off me, Jerome, get off me. And he was like, yeah, go on, shout, Jerome's raping me then. Shout, Jerome's raping me then. And I was like, what the fuck? What kind of psycho? What have I gotten myself into? What is this? And he's like, he was looking me dead in the eyes, guys. Like, shout, Jerome's raping me then. And I'm like, wow. So I'm just like, get off me. Psycho, he's a fucking psycho. So I kicked him off of me. I managed to, like, kind of kick him. And I ran with my jeans at my ankles. And you know, you just envision that. Envision that with your jeans around your ankles. Like, just... It's not funny, but it's funny. And so I ran straight into the light. Like a street light. It was a street light, but in a park. Into the light. And I'm like, just screaming like some flipping crazy person. I ran out into the road, quickly pulled up my jeans, and I ran to the bus stop. So he then gets to the bus stop and, like, he got to the bus stop and he was like, Samantha, I'm so sorry. And he started crying. And he was like, what did he say again? I can't even remember, but he genuinely looked apologetic. Like, genuinely apologetic to the point where I thought he was schizophrenic. I thought he had one, I thought he had a mental disorder. I'm sure he did, or he does, or something, but that was crazy. It was literally split personality from what I experienced in the park to what I was experiencing later. I mean, maybe it was just him covering up, just, you know, trying to get me to sympathize with him or whatever, but he was genuinely looked apologetic. So then, yes. So later, anyways, I think the next day, I messaged Marcus and I was like, Marcus, like, do you know what Jerome did yesterday or something like that? And he was like, yeah, I know, he told me. And I was like, so you know what he did to me, right? And you know he tried to rape me, right? And he was just like, yeah, I know. And I said, so what did you say to him? And he said, oh, I just laughed. What? And I was like, you laughed? Like, what do you mean you laughed? He goes, oh, well, it was more in shock than anything. I laughed in shock.
Okay.
That was the last time I ever spoke to him.
Fuck Marcus.
And so, so there was a time I was on the bus and I was just on the bus. That was it. I was on the bus and I just started having a panic attack. Like, literally had a panic attack. I was hyperventilating. I was breathing fast, sweating, everything. And I started crying. And I was like, why the hell has that just randomly happened? And I looked outside and I was going past the scene of the incident. And I just found that so weird that my body subconsciously knew. Yeah, I subconsciously knew where I was. And yeah, it had triggered me. I have never been back past there since. But I really do wonder how I would feel like going past there again. And I went past there. I'd say it was like... It was a while later, very, very, very long time later. And yet I was still triggered by that scene. So Yeah.
It's actually crazy. Fuck Jerome Brown. Fuck yeah. Marcus.
I never told my cousin, any of them, though. I didn't tell my cousin because that was, that to me, that is that was cause for murder, mate. Like, if my cousin knew. Oh, sorry, there's more to the story. Oh, I forgot. It gets juicy.
Guys, look at the way Sam is talking about this. Like, it's actually very serious.
Because, yeah, karma's a fucking bitch. So, I completely forgot this part. So, anyway, I told some people that knew him, and a lot of people just wanted to like deal with him and whatever, whatever. And I was just like, no, don't, because then if he gets out, my cousin will find out and then it'll be a bigger problem and so on and so forth. So anyway, I just said, you know what? God will deal with him. So I can't remember how long later it was, but I then heard that he was at a party and he had basically tried it with another girl. But the difference is this girl gave in. So he basically raped a girl on top of a washing machine and she gave in. Now, the girl's ex-boyfriend was one of the biggest psychos in the west side of London. And so he caught him at a party and literally destroyed him, like destroyed him to the point where he has like a permanent scar running down the middle of his face now. And yeah.
Well, you deserve that, Jerome Brown.
God dealt with him.
I hope you still have that scar, Jerome Brown.
And you know what's funny? The girl, when the ex-boyfriend was beating Jerome up, the girl ran up to him and was like, stop, 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 leave him alone. So she got slapped in the face, apparently. But you know what? That's not, that, I'm not condoning that. I'm just telling the story, okay? But,
Fuck Jerome Brown.
Fuck Jerome Brown.
Boy, you know, this life is actually magic, though, because the way you realize the way you dealt with each one, like each situation, it makes you, like, the way you look, when you look back at it now, you're looking at it like, wow, like, I actually went through that. Like, the way, I know the way we're talking about it, yeah, it sounds like it's so a joke, or it's like, it sounds like it's someone else's story.
It's the way you deal with it. That's the way that it's, I've been, it's my coping method at the end of the day.
Laughing about
Because I'm not being funny, that situation, as Jamila said about, you know, with men, that then made me, like, not just that, but obviously it happening twice in the space of a week, that made me so wary of being alone with any guys, like, so wary, like, I didn't trust guys at all, like, I just felt like every guy had an ulterior motive, and every guy wants to rape me, that's how I saw it, because I was like, what are the chances of two guys trying that in 1 week?
That's actually
in 1 week, and one being in the comfort of my own home, and then the other one being by someone that I knew.
You know what's so? It's the fact that you didn't die. Like, you know, I always say this, like, everything you go through, you've actually gone through it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's happened, and you're still alive. You're still here. Like, no matter what, you're still here. You're still surviving. You're still, you know, living your life.
Yeah.
Some things just can't kill you.
Nope. And so next, we move on because I've got another. I've got another story, and this is about Xavier from Asylum 33. So that's,
can you repeat that? I didn't hear that.
I said Xavier from Asylum 33. Okay. If you guys know of them, I'm sorry, this does not in any way represent the views of Asylum 33. However, one of their members is a predator. Okay, Xavier, let's move on to you. So I was at this is the first time, by the way, I'm actually like really like exposing because he deserves,
Jerome, you didn't expose him, you know.
I never did. This is the first time I ever have, because even in the story, the blog post, I still changed his name. What did I even change it to? John or something stupid, or like James, that, do you know what I mean, like something stupid like that. And you don't deserve it. Rapist, sexual predators, abusers, or abusers, sexual deviants, sexual abusers, child molesters, anything. You do don't not deserve anonymity. You do not deserve anonymity. No, you don't. No, you do not. And these are facts. I will never falsely accuse somebody of anything. And I swear that on my granddad's grave, okay? So everything I am saying are facts, okay? Next, Xavier. I'm at a party, my friend's party, and I'm really drunk, whatever, I've been drinking, whatever, whatever. So I go and lay in bed. So at the time, I'm laying in bed with another female. I think it was the birthday girl. Laying in bed with her. I wake up and there's members of Asylum 33 laying on the floor, sleeping on the floor, whatever. And I'm just thinking, okay, like, where did everyone come from kind of thing. At one point, I wake up and I felt, what happened? I felt someone just kind of touching my feet. I mean, like, I know my feet are kind of pain, yeah, but I mean, like, you ain't touching my feet while I'm sleeping, nigga. So I was like, what the fuck? And I kind of dozed back to sleep. Dozed back off to sleep thinking, okay, whatever. I don't know. I was not all there. Wake up again. Keep in mind, guys, I am drunk, okay? So I'm in and out of sleep. I'm just waking up. I'm hearing music going doosh, 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 doosh. I'm like, fuck, shit, going back to sleep. That's how it was, yeah? So the second time I wake up now, I was kind of still in between sleep. I was in and out of sleep. And I felt my foot wanking off a penis. Like, I'm going to repeat that. My foot was wanking a penis.
Not she was involuntarily giving a foot job to a Xavier guy from Asylum 33.
To Xavier. And again, I was just like, what the fuck? So I was like, what? And he was like, oh, he kind of like stopped doing it. He was like, oh, do you want a foot massage? Do you want a foot massage? And I was like, what the fuck? No. Like, I'm like, what the hell is going on? But again, like I said, guys, I'm going to have to repeat this multiple times because a lot of you will be thinking, why didn't you kind of just move or get up or just, you know, completely pull him up or whatever, whatever.
Why? I was drunk.
Yeah. And I'm not the type of person that doesn't realize what's happening when they're drunk. Like, you know, oh, getting raped when they're drunk and stuff like that. No disrespect or anything. But it was literally that I was so drunk that, and it was so, what's the word? It was so
unbelievable.
No, not even unbelievable, but subtle. It was so subtle. What he was doing was so subtle that I didn't actually realize what he was doing. Does that make sense? If it was a guy on top of me trying to penetrate me, that's another thing. But because it was so, and it was so bizarre that I thought, this isn't really happening. Like, I'm dreaming. Yeah, it was. I can't describe it. But guys, I genuinely didn't feel like it was happening. So he was doing it. Another time I woke up, but I didn't open my eyes. I didn't move. I was literally frozen and I just felt vigorous, foot swanking, vigorously going back, 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 back. Just, back, 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 just bang, bang, bang. And I'm like, run! And I'm like, ah, chill. Like, whoa.
Guys.
Whoa. Like, whoa.
It's not even meant to be funny.
Nah, but it, nah, this, I don't care. Like, I had to send this to a joke because it was so fucking bizarre, okay? I literally got foot molested, okay? So anyway, he's doing that, doing that, doing that, doing that. And he is going ham. Like, he is, I don't know how, but he is wrapping my foot around his dick like a sandwich. Like, it was like, whoa, my foot is the bun and his dick is the hot dog. Like, whoa, all we needed was some ketchup on that shit and we would have had a hot dog. Like, it was mad. Like, just bang, bang, bang. Like, this. And I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? I thought I was dreaming. And I just had to say, okay, yeah. Right. And, oh, yeah, keep in mind, guys, his friends were still on the floor, okay? And he was on the bed. I don't know why he was on the bed. Like, why were you even on the bed with two girls? I think my friend had gone at that point. Like, she'd gone because she's a celebrant, innit? So someone probably came to wake her up and just left me with a foot molester. So, anyway, in the morning, I was like, did that happen or was I dreaming? And so I tried, he was still in the house. We had all woken up. He was still in the house. I think there were like 10 of us left in the house or whatever. Cause she was a good friend. So I was there overnight. I don't know why he was still there, but he was maybe waiting for the first train back home. Fucking broke nigga. Like, fucking. So anyway, I was like trying to see like, I don't know, maybe like he'll acknowledge that something happened, something went down last night, like he molested like my foot last night, yeah. So I'm looking for his eye, like I'm looking to catch his eye, and he just looked at me like, yeah, you're right, yeah, you're right, yeah. And he was acting like normal, and I was like, yeah, are you? He's just like, yeah, good. So I genuinely thought I was going crazy. I lost my mind and I dreamt everything, like I had just like a mad, like vivid dream.
I kept
catching him looking at me from the corner of the room, like as in way on the other side of the room, just staring at me. And I'm like, okay, this guy, like, did he do it? I think he did. Like, and I never really like confronted him about it after that, but I don't know why. I just found it so, so bizarre that it was embarrassing. Like, it was embarrassing that that happened. Like, how do I say that? How do I say to somebody, I know you, you foot molested me. Like, you raped my foot. How do I say that? You raped my foot. My foot did not want to engage in sexual activity with you. Did it consent? My foot did not consent. My foot is scarred for life now. Like, I genuinely, sometimes I look at my foot and I start shivering because I'm like, no, seriously, like that. No, because my foot can't speak, so it sends signals to my brain for my body to shiver. I can't describe it. Like, my foot, like, do you know what this foot has been through? That foot is even darker than my, but my right foot is darker than my left foot because of all the darkness that is seen in this life. You don't understand. Like, you guys, seriously, nah. It's not even, it shouldn't be funny, okay? It's not okay. Seriously, like, there needs to be a level of sensitivity with what we're speaking about, yeah?
I'm sorry, guys.
There is, but this is, but I can't, this is my coping method. Like, it really happened to me, guys. What would you do if you got a foot molested? There is a foot molester on the loose. And the worst thing is, I tweeted about it once that there was a foot molester on the loose. And I got confronted by another girl saying, oh my God, it happened to me as well. And she was like, I know who you're talking about. And then she was right about the person. Like, what the hell? And apparently she'd confronted the them and they didn't even do anything about it. They didn't care.
Fuck you, Xavier from Asylum 33, you fucking tramp. You're disgusting.
You're disgusting.
No, you're very disgusting.
You fucking foot molester. Go and seek help. Go and seek help. If you have that big of a fucking foot fetish, go and fucking seek help. You see, this is why I said I can never be with an addict. It's a fucking foot addict. You fucking tramp. You dirty, dirty shitter.
You're...
Go and search his at, guys. I don't even know what his at is.
Just search Xavier Asylum 33. You should find
him. You'll find him and search his at with feet.
Just at Asylum 33. You should be able to find him.
And then search his at with feet. He's a tramp. What are you talking about? His feet. You fucking tramp. Dirty, dirty boy.
Wait. Guys, okay, sorry.
No.
I like, know, but
I haven't spoken about this in such a long time. I'm so... Ew. My poor foot. Ew.
Are you guys deep? She said her foot is darker. Like,
it is darker because it has seen darkness in its life. It has been through struggle.
Okay, guys. Just to bring this to you.
What if he bust on my foot? What if he bust on my foot? And his cum was in between my toes and sticky. What would I have done? Okay. No.
Guys. Okay, we have to bring this tone down a bit, yeah? Because
yeah.
We just have to be a bit more sensitive about stuff like this. Like, I know we did the trigger warning, but again, I don't know if you guys know this about us, but our coping mechanism is definitely to laugh.
Yeah,
like,
that's the only way.
It's
to make jokes about
it. Because... if you don't laugh, boy, like, you can... like, I'm a dickhead.
No, seriously, like, even that aside, like, in life, if there's a lot of things where if I hadn't laughed, I would have gone crazy. Like, I have laughed about the most inappropriate things, and they're to do with me.
Yep.
So, as you guys know, okay, I haven't been... you know, nobody has actually been successful in raping me, but people have attempted it, and I still feel like that in itself... is mentally scarring. So I'm not, again, I'm not taking away from, like, you know, this is the seriousness of it, because as I said, I'm a victim myself, but this is the way that I can cope with it, because like I said,
that's why I make jokes with my dad. Why don't we make jokes?
Yeah,
I'm being 100% serious.
That's a perfect one. Our dad,
I'm being 100% serious when I'm talking about my dad. Okay, I know people think I'm joking when I say I don't like him. I'm being 100% serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's how I cope with it, because yeah, these jokes may be funny, but yeah, they're true.
Yeah,
they're factual.
And do you know what's crazy? When I wrote the blog post for Snatched, the amount of girls that came forward and told me I've been through the same thing, or they have been raped, or their brother raped them, or this, that, and the other, and I was like, it's insane amount. How many women.
And when you hear, like, when you see, this even is what men. I hate when guys like to derail from the conversation of rape, where it's like, oh, women are falsely accused. Okay, first of all, the percentage is so small in comparison to the women that actually are raped. Second of all, only mention that if you truly care, because you don't actually care about women getting raped. You don't care about guys getting falsely accused. No, all you care about is that, oh, well, it's a crime against men.
Yeah,
rape is a gendered crime. It's a gendered crime. It doesn't happen to men.
unless by other men. So instead of you to be more sympathetic to understand that the stuff that we go through, it's not to do with, oh, falsely accused, because that's the only thing you can falsely accuse. For some, it's always the grey lines. There's always the lines where it's like,
Sexual assault is obviously, that can happen to both genders, but in terms of rape, no.
It's a gendered, I just don't, I never understand men that are just like, oh, well, you shouldn't have been. And there's no such thing, again, there is no such thing as preventative measures, because you cannot prevent something that will happen regardless. There's nothing you can wear that can stop someone from raping you. There's nothing you can do that can stop someone from raping you. If they want to rape you, they will rape you. That's period point blank.
So it's literally only God that gave me the strength to get Jerome Brown off of me. Honestly, I don't know.
You were wearing
I was wearing tights.
It's
and
always
jeans
somebody you trust. Somebody you
t-shirt.
Think automatically trust. It's never somebody that. It's never if I'm walking outside at dark and in the dark and I'm on road and someone sees me and they want to rape me. It's hardly ever that. It's more likely to be someone that I trust.
Yeah.
So it could be a cab driver. Yeah. It could be a delivery guy. It could be anybody. So.
And it's sad because, even this is the first time, obviously, you guys know my mum listens to this podcast, and I've never spoken to her about it. She doesn't actually know that this has ever happened to me, any of this has ever happened to me. And it's weird that I feel more comfortable kind of speaking out publicly about it, because this isn't the first time, like I said, I'm speaking publicly about it, but I feel more comfortable speaking publicly about it than telling my mum, because I don't want to hurt her feelings. I know she's going to be hurt, and I know she's going to feel responsible for it, and that's another battle that I'm going to have to deal with now once she listens to this. And so you can only imagine, again, jokes aside, I'm making all these jokes, but now I'm even getting emotional thinking about how it's going to affect my mum. I don't even cry, but I'm crying because I can't imagine how it's going to hurt my mum so much. It's going to hurt her so much. And these are things that I'm having to deal with that you guys think, okay, I'm laughing, I'm joking, I'm not serious. This is nothing serious. But this is what I mean. These things are, I'm still affected by it.
A whole group of people at the same time. I don't know if my cousin still thinks about it. I don't know if they've done to other people. But all I know is it's happened to me. And in me telling my mum, it opened wounds I never thought would open in my life. It opened so much that for me, it's what made me closer to my mum now. Just by telling her. Because I was to her, I don't know, I was just what would you do if I was I don't know, let's say someone that you knew, someone that was her family member, her cousin or something like that had done, would you believe me? Mental. She's I would 100% believe you. And I was just and I just started crying because I was just I just, that's the reality of some people out there, no
that's
one believes
that's
them.
A daily struggle for some people.
People won't believe them, and it's so hard when you open yourself to go and tell somebody and they don't believe you. It makes you feel clearly it's either that I'm a liar or they just don't love me enough. It's so much an internal battle for you to even open yourself up out there. For me to even say this on here, I'm so surprised because I can't lie. I'm very particular about what I put out there, so
I'm even surprised that you didn't cry more than you actually did.
Listen, I was trying to hold it in
so much.
Can't
more.
Lie, my face is beat, so I can't really. So I don't know. That's why I spoke to my mum about it first, because I wanted to know what her view would be on it. If I was to say it, because for me, I wouldn't want to do anything that would upset her. And she was very supportive of it. She wanted me to tell my story, put it out there. My brother does not know about this. There's no way my brother can ever find out about this, because he will beat me up. Not even because I hid it, but because I hid it, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's extremely protective over me. And there's stuff like that. You hurting that person won't do nothing for me. It won't do anything for me. It won't take away the pain. It won't take away it happening. So it means nothing to me. But guys, if you have, I know some of you guys may want to reach out, may want to tell your own stories, our email is always there and our DMs are always there,
and we do know how to be serious, guys. Obviously, we're just two clowns, we see the positive, or not even the positive, but
the way we can laugh.
Yeah, in everything, in absolutely everything, even in death, we can still laugh. Like, and I think that's what makes us us and just makes us click.
If I wasn't able to laugh, like, I would be dead. Like, I'm telling
honestly,
you now, guys.
The amount of shit that we've been through, honestly, is disgusting.
Like, I say I'm fragile a lot, yeah, but I don't think I'm that fragile, you know. I'm quite strong considering. Like, I could have died a long time ago.
No, honestly. No, seriously. We actually could have. Our lives... I'm not even trying to take away from anyone else's struggle because... I've spoken to some people and thought, wow, like, I never would have known you've gone through that. So I know, I understand that a lot of people go through whatever. We are not the only person, people, we're not the only people that have, you know, had hard lives. But we have had hard lives.
Listen,
we have had very, very hard lives.
So, you know, it's only by the grace of God that we're still here.
Yeah.
So on today's episode of... Episode. I always say this every single time instead of segment. On today's segment of asking for a friend, this is our first dilemma. I was in a relationship for a year and a half and it was basically just a really back and forth toxic relationship. He made me completely happy, but at the same time, he was always cheating, lying, or just always telling me if I had a problem to leave. Finally, after a year, I decided it was best if I just moved on. Now all I feel is that withdrawal of having someone there all the time to now being alone all the time. How do I get past it and just be okay with being alone again? At this point, I feel like going back just to have some company again. Lame, I know. So, yeah.
So she's asking, how does she get comfortable with being alone again?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to describe it. I think you just have to love yourself. When you love yourself, you don't feel like you need anybody else for validation. In the past, if I've ever gone through a kind of breakup where I felt like I was attached to somebody, it's literally just about getting my sexy up in my Viva back again, snapping way back to, you know, the person that made that guy chase me the way he did. Do you understand? And whether it was me that broke up with him or it's always me that's broken up with him, you know.
That's how we do it.
Well, but yeah, no, seriously, like, it's literally just about loving yourself, finding confidence within yourself again. That is literally all you need. Once you feel like you are the shit, you will never feel like there's a void. You won't feel a void.
Because especially, like, once a person drains all of that self-love out of you, like,
mm-hmm.
obviously, I feel like when people stay with a cheating partner, with a lying partner, mm-hmm. it drains you of your own energy, your self-energy anyway. So you become that person, you're just a shell at that point. And now that you're alone, you feel the emptiness.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, like you said, self-love is the only way to really... getting back to that point. Like, you need to learn, like, you know, just do little stuff, like, you know, go get your nails done or
mm-hmm.
change your hair color,
anything, exactly,
anything, like going out with your girls on a night out, like, cocktails, I know it feels wine. Very superficial, but stuff like that, I always mm-hmm. say, like, fake it till you make it. Like, it doesn't matter if you don't feel it yet, but if you keep it up, like, eventually it becomes a way of life, it becomes a way you feel, it becomes mm-hmm. like, bro, I really love myself. Like, I would never go back to that person again.
Exactly.
I would never do that again.
Exactly.
Like, and it's not even about, oh, making yourself look as good as you did when he wanted you. It's making yourself look better. Mm, like,
true,
at that point, because now you no longer Ooh. Want him. Now you're no longer needing him in your life. So now you're like this independent person that no matter what he could do to you, he could never get back to that place again.
Exactly.
He can never get back to drain all of that out of you again.
Yeah, like, you need to raise your standard above his, like, as in he could never be, even if he wanted you back, you would not want him. Get yourself to that level. That's what you need to do. So in the end, you will actually forget about this guy and you'll do better.
I think what I suggest, you know what, yeah, write a list of all the things that he did and all the stuff you're not going to stand for anymore.
Yeah, you know when you need to raise your standards.
Like all the stuff that he did and all the stuff you won't stand for. So if he cheated, like, know mm-hmm. that the next person ain't mm-hmm. going to cheat on you and get away with mm-hmm. it. If he lied, know that the next person won't lie and get away mm-hmm. with it. Know that all of that, you're not going to put up with it. But even mm-hmm. the smallest things, even from, like, I don't know, taking out the bins or paying for the dates, all mm-hmm. of that, write it all down and mm-hmm. know what you're not going to stand for again, what you know your standards are now, and what you're never, ever going to go back to again.
Yeah, and what I've realised, what I've noticed that helped me in the past is I stopped kind of telling myself what I don't want and I started telling myself what I do want, because when you're telling yourself what you don't want, you still settle because you just end up kind of letting everything else fall in between those cracks. Kind of exactly in between those cracks of what you don't want. So it might not necessarily be what you want. It's just not what you don't want. Do you understand what I'm saying? So
like, he's not like my ex, exactly, but he's still something
exactly
bad.
Exactly. No, you need to state what you want and stick to it. Do not settle for
never,
less. That's simple.
Ever. I say this all the time. Never lower your standards.
Nope.
Listen, I pretend I'm high. Okay, I don't pretend I'm high maintenance. I am high maintenance because I don't want anyone to think I'm not. So I'm high maintenance. And every person, every guy that's approached me knows that I'm high maintenance. You cannot come here and expect me to lower any of that for you. I am not. You cannot come here and say, oh, yeah, we're going to split the bill. No. All of this. Listen.
We don't split the bill.
We don't split the bill. Everything we do is out to you. You want to be with me? Know that this is what stands. This is mm-hmm. what I stand for. I don't want anything less. Mm-hmm. Then we can start lowering the standards, if you come up to those standards.
Yeah.
But if you don't even bother trying to apply.
Exactly.
So, next dilemma.
It's not there.
So the next dilemma is,
sorry
guys, she's a bit
my phone's malfunctioned. Okay, right, so the next dilemma is, why didn't it come up on my phone? Okay, anyway, there's loads. Ooh, god damn. Okay. Right, hey guys, love listening to the show, and at Lola Finesse is a sick guest host. I agree. Whoop whoop. Quick confession in relation to your Don't Mess With My Man episode. Me and this girl have been following each other for years. Never met in person, but I push whatever she's doing and she supports what I'm doing. So there's a respect there. Last year at Carnival, I spotted her man. I don't think he knows me, but he may recognize me from the TL, and swiftly proceeded to give me the wickedest. Nothing too long, but it was just one of those look back at it and make eye contact kind of whines. Of course, the day went on and I whined on different people, but I felt a bit naughty. Was I wrong for this? P.S. He was looking like a snack and I knew exactly what I was doing.
Yes, you were wrong, sis. You were. You knew what you was doing.
What did she say? Did she say that they weren't friends? Sorry, read it and I don't even...
They support each other in what they do. Like, she supports me, I support her kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's that girl code episode. It's that girl code. Listen, I feel like you guys, you kind of did owe it to her to kind of stay away
not
from my man.
With her man.
Yeah, stay away from my man. And if you knew he was misbehaving, it wasn't for you to kind of entertain it and to kind of give him that.
So what if he looks like a snack? He ain't your snack.
Exactly. Go and buy your own crisp.
like you foul. You don't have to tell her or nothing. I don't think that's not that
deep. Yeah. You don't need to tell her.
But just know that you were foul for doing that. Like, it wasn't that. Like, you didn't have to whine with him. You didn't have to give him the wickedest. You didn't have to stare at him in the eyes.
Wickedest.
You didn't have to look back at it.
Because now what's going to happen is every time she's all doing my king, my boss.
All you got to think is, when I whine.
Exactly. That wickedest whine. That's so out of order. Meanwhile, you'll still be pushing her YouTube channel. Like, that's not fair.
We got a few comments as well on our curious cat. This was a comment made: eating ass isn't joblessness. Sometimes the wave and sexual pleasure will take you to places you never thought you'd venture to. It is joblessness. Don't argue with me. I know what I'm saying.
Don't
here.
Argue with us. Okay.
Okay. And I love the podcast. Well done, girls. Keep up the good work. Yeah, also, oh yeah, so today's episode was actually inspired by DM that we got from a girl about her own rape, and we thought, you know, it would be beneficial for us to share our own stories and what we've been through. We didn't want to, I get it, we were laughing quite a lot, I don't know why. Cope mechanism.
Because we're Sam Ray and Jamila, like, we
actually, guys,
we just can't help it,
just like, clowns, we laugh at everything, like, okay, not everything.
Something we can't. We just try not to take life too seriously.
Yeah, like especially our lives. We try to take
our own
lives
exactly
too seriously because,
exactly,
again, we could have died. So you know. So yeah, she inspired the episode. She did want it to be a sort of an advice, not advice thing, but like for other women to see and like know that, you know, it doesn't end as if like, oh, your fault, it's not your fault. So yeah, I spoke to her, and she's going through with talking to the police about it and everything. So again, guys, you guys know the drill. You send your dilemmas to curiouscat.me/thepinkmatter or pinkmattercontact@gmail.com. Don't forget to get your tickets. We will post the link. Get your tickets for the So Life Festival in August. You get to see a lot of live podcast. A lot of
I'm excited, but I'm nervous at the same time. I need to snap back because my baby body.
No, but guys, she actually looks really good. I can't lie.
I've lost quite a bit of weight, but I've got a lot to do. I can't go to the gym yet, unfortunately. I'll explain why another time, but
you know, so
trying to get it together.
I really hope we get to see you guys at the So Live Festival. Yeah, what else? What else we gotta say?
I feel like there's so much that I haven't spoken to you guys in ages. It's been a month, hasn't it? Since the last time I was on an episode. But yeah, nothing, I don't think.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys. Yeah. And like, oh yeah. We'll be reaching our 6 month anniversary soon.
I know, it's coming up.
I'm excited. I can't believe it. Should be even coming out the day after our 6 month anniversary.
Oh yeah, it is.
So yeah, thank you so much for supporting us, guys. We are so happy you guys love listening to us.
Yeah.
And you know, any suggestions, anything, you get to DM, email, all of that.
Also remember, if you want to advertise on the show, email us at pinkmattercontact@gmail.com. And yeah, we will
send you information and stuff like that. So yeah, and don't forget, on Wednesdays we listen to Pink Matter. Sam is so rusty.
I forgot what's rusty. I was like, when do I come in?